Most congregations now have what we know as mission statements. This sets out for us something of the congregation's goal or aim that they set themselves. And one of the shortest and most succinct mission statements that I'm aware of is this: to know Christ and to make Christ known. And that latter part of that mission statement has given me a theme for the two Sunday services that I've been with the folks in Brookside this summer: making Christ known. And as I've said, I've become aware since I was here in July in Brookside that this fits in very nicely with your efforts during the summer weeks in reaching out to others. But I want you to know, as I'm sure you're well aware of, that making Christ known is not just a summer activity, but is something that we need to keep at throughout the entire year. And making Christ known has two important factors that the Apostle Paul mentions in our reading. And these must come together if you and I are to be faithful to our mission in this community. As I've said, both are mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5, and they are the message that we must proclaim in order to make Christ known. And then secondly, the motives that will drive us to make him known. Firstly, there is the message that we must proclaim. You find this outlined in verse 17. I spoke on this when I was here a few weeks ago here in Brookside. But just to refresh their memory and to bring the folks of First and Trinity up to date, it's based on verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And we saw in those familiar words the substance of our message, that it has to do with a new creation. As one translation puts it, a brand new person inside, such as the spiritual condition of men and women without Christ, spiritually dead in sin and because of sin, spiritually blind. The God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. Such is their condition that nothing short of a new birth experience can meet their needs. And Paul says that our message is about a new creation. How sinful men and women and young people can become brand new people inside. One quotation I left with Brookside was this: that the gospel offers us more than just a new start to life, but rather a new life to start with. And that's at the heart and core of our message that we believe in and we seek to support and encourage. A new creation. You must, and therefore you can, be born again. Then we spent a little while about the subsequence of our message. Paul puts it this way, the old is gone, the new has come. Having become brand new people inside, this is now expressed outwardly in the lives that we live. And our lives are now dominated by what someone has called the explosive power of a new affection. And that means that I outlined some of this before, that we love Sunday. The Sabbath for us is a delight and not boring or a burden. And we love to come to church and to sing God's praise, to pray with others, and to hear His word proclaimed. We love the Bible. We love to pray. We love to give to the Lord's work. We do so cheerfully now and generously. We're different. We love to hear about God's work in other lands. We love to pray for it. We've become new people, a new creation in Christ. And finally, there was the secret of such an experience. If anyone is in Christ, says Paul. And that's the secret. To be in Christ is somewhat similar to having Christ in us. And that means receiving Him. The words of our catechism as well as John 1:12 of receiving Him and resting upon Him alone for our salvation. Of opening up the door of our lives to Christ who's been out there knocking and wanting in, and we have kept Him outside, but then by His grace He has won us, and we have opened the door and He has come in. And Christ in is what a Christian is all about. And that's our message. That's how we let it be known, the message of Christ. But this evening I want to dwell on what I'm calling motives for making Christ known. Now let me say straight away that winning people for Jesus today is not an easy task. I sometimes wonder if folks think that ministers have been trained in personal evangelism. But we had no such training in my day, and I doubt whether it's true even to this day. If it's not easy for ministers, then it's not easy for any. To bear witness to Christ in your home, at school, at college, among the neighbors, in the workplace, it's not easy today in our secular society. Many people today have lost their jobs simply because they have spoken a word about Jesus in their place of employment. I've read of folks who have lost their job because they prayed with someone, because they gave them a Bible, and they've been dismissed from their work. It's not easy, but this has meant that we somehow no longer do it, and we have become a bit like what they say of the St. Lawrence River in a Canadian winter, frozen at the mouth. And that's why it's so vitally important to have right and proper motives for this. For motives will keep us going when things are difficult. And I want to dwell for a little while tonight on two motives that Paul mentions in our reading. Verse 11, the fear of the Lord. And verse 14, the love of Christ. The fear of the Lord. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord. Now this word fear in the ESV is only slightly better than perhaps the more familiar authorized version, which is terror. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Now, both, of course, can give the wrong impression. For Christians should never be terrified or indeed afraid of the Lord. But you'll know, of course, that that's not the meaning. To fear the Lord is to hold him in awesome reverence and respect and godly fear. You'll in fact notice that Paul mentions this fear of the Lord in the context of verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, says Paul, it's in the light of that, knowing something of this fear of the Lord. Now let me say two things about that. This comes as a reminder of the fearful state that men and women who are not in Christ, their state before God. Folks, it is a chilling thought. It's chilling to me, and I'm sure it's chilling to all of you, that men and women and young people without saving faith in the Lord Jesus, that they're on their way to a lost eternity in hell. Now, we all have family and friends who are outside of Christ. And that's where they're heading, to this judgment seat of Christ. And that is such an intolerable burden that at times we might be tempted to give up. But that it would be so wrong, for this also reminds us of our awesome responsibility to win them before it is forever too late. One day, you and I will stand before the Lord Jesus, and we'll give an account to him of the things that we have done in our body, whether good or evil. We'll give an account of our stewardship of the gospel. There's a day coming, Paul mentions it, 1 Corinthians 3, when our lives will be tested by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one of us has done. And Paul, knowing this coming day of judgment, having something of the fear of God in him, that drives him to try and win others for the Savior. He tries to persuade them. Now that's an interesting way of doing it. He's going to win them not by coercion, not by deception, but by persuasion. He will present Christ before them in a reasonable way, outlining their spiritual need and the nature of the gospel message that meets that need. But we will so present that truth. But we'll not leave it there as if we don't care how people respond. We're trying to persuade them to come to Christ, trying to win them. So Paul's method of making Christ known is by persuasion. We see this in his life by his persuasive speaking. Let me give you a couple of examples. In Corinth, you find this in Acts 18 and verse 4. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. In Ephesus, Acts 19:8, he spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Now, Paul would not have us believe that somehow mere human powers of persuasion are enough to win people. Our task is to so present the gospel, to so present Jesus, who he is and what he has done, and to do so in a reasonable way, and then to leave the matter in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Graham Machen was an influential American theologian some years ago, and he wrote this: our task is to lay before men and women the evidence. It is the Holy Spirit's work to open their eyes to attend to the evidence. And maybe he was influenced by the Shorter Catechism. You remember it? Effectual calling. It's the work of God's Spirit whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, renewing our mind, our wills. He persuades, and enables us to embrace the Lord Jesus freely offered to us in the gospel. I think it was Leighton Ford, the evangelist. Was he a son-in-law of Billy Graham? I'm not sure, but he wrote a book on the Holy Spirit, and he entitled it The Hidden Persuader. Persuasive speaking backed up by the Spirit of God, but also persuasive living. This seems to be his argument at the end of verse 11. What we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. Paul's desire was to have a clear conscience on the day of judgment, that no one would have cause to say, Paul, why didn't you tell us about this? And I have to say that that remains a strong motivation for me over the years as I've preached. I cannot imagine ever saying to anyone as they make their way into a lost eternity, I told you so. I can't imagine. But I do know this, it would turn my heaven into hell if anyone could truthfully say of me, why didn't you tell us about this? Persuasive living, persuasive speaking. By the words we speak, by the way we live, we're in the business of persuading. Remember, Paul said something similar in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Our gospel came to you not merely with words, but if you look up the history of that in Acts 16, Paul reasoned with them for 3 Sabbaths from the scriptures. But it came not with words only, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Paul lived the gospel message as well as speaking it. And if you and I are ever to win others for the Savior, we must live out the gospel before them. Indeed, it's only as we do that that we may be given the opportunity to speak. it will be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God if you've never received Christ as your Savior. And it's our awesome responsibility if we're Christians, but it's also our privilege, as Paul calls us here, as ambassadors for Christ. It's our responsibility to make Christ known before it is forever too late. The fear of the Lord. The second one is more briefly, though of equal importance, the love of Christ. Verse 14, the love of Christ controls us. It's interesting to read different translations of that. The Authorized Version, the love of Christ constrains us. Others, it urges us on. It controls, urges, impels us. I like the New English Bible Version, it leaves us with no choice. The NIV, it compels us. The ESV, it controls us. So having talked about the fear, the terror of the Lord, Paul now wants to motivate us by the tenderness and the love of the Lord Jesus and how it compels us to mission. Note those familiar words just for a little while. The love of Christ. I believe it's legitimate to take this in two senses. To take it as his love for us. His tremendous love for you and me as he showed it on the cross. It is that that drives us to the good news concerning him. Galatians 2:20. The Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me. And folks, that's not just for boys and girls to remember. You may not have to stick it up in your wardrobe door, but I long that it might burn deeply into your hearts. Will you take a moment quietly and just say those words into yourself? The Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me. Will you say it to yourself? Isn't that amazing? Amazing grace. While we were yet sinners, says Paul in Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. And such was his love for you and for me that we seek to win people over and to let them know that he loves them also. His love for me, but also my love for him. We love him because he first loved us. You know, there is a sense in which we evangelize and reach out with the gospel. We seek to make Christ known. There is a sense in which we do this because he commanded us to do it. John Stott takes hold of that and he wrote this. In the last resort, we engage in evangelism today, not because we want to or choose to or like to, but because we have been told to. I'm sure if John Stott was alive today, he would have us know that we do what Christ tells us because we love him. His love for us and our love for him leaves us with no other choice. You'll know the words, I cannot work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done, but I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son, the love of Christ. It controls us. It compels us. It leaves us with no choice. This word is used in a number of interesting other occasions. It's used to describe being in the grip of something. Remember the story of Peter's mother-in-law in Luke 2? She was in the grip of a fever, under control of a fever. It's used of an army surrounding a city and hemming it in, laying siege to it. The love of Christ constrains us. It hems us in. And this was Paul's compelling motive. He was a man in the grip of his master. He felt that he had no choice but to preach. Do you remember he said in 1 Corinthians 9, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." I'm sure you're aware of the prophet Jeremiah and how he had been told in no uncertain terms that if he did not stop speaking about the Lord, that they would put him in prison and put him in a pit. Do you remember his response? Jeremiah 20, verse 9. "If I say I will not mention him, or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." As Peter and John said in Acts 4, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. The love of Christ compels us. Here we stand, and we can do no other. And that is why you and I ought to be keen to tell others about the Savior. We ought to feel under a certain compulsion, a driving, compelling love of our Savior. His love for us and our returning love for him leave us with no choice. It was said by members of the congregation of Robert Murray McShane in Dundee, "We knew that he longed to see us saved." Motives winning people for Jesus. Do you feel constrained? Do you feel under compulsion? Do you feel that you're in the grip of the Savior, that you cannot but make him known? Both the terror of the Lord, the fearful thing that it will be on the day of judgment for our loved ones, our neighbors, and our friends who live and die without Christ. Knowing something of that, but knowing also something of the tenderness that the Lord loves, and because we have come to know that love, we too love, and that motivates us in the business of persuading men and women to embrace the Lord Jesus as he's offered to them in the gospel. I mentioned that mission statement. It's in two parts. One is to know Christ, and the other is to make Christ known. And you cannot make him known if you do not first know him yourself. And if there's anyone here tonight then I urge upon you. I seek, motivated by the fear of my Lord and the love of my Lord, I want to persuade you. I want to encourage you to come to Christ and to embrace him as your Savior. And then, if you do that, you can join those of us who are already believers as we seek together to reach out and to make him known. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. We thank you that Jesus is still in the business of saving men and women and young people. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the hidden persuader, and we pray that he might take what we have shared this night and use it for the glory of Christ and for the true well-being of all who have listened. For Jesus' sake, amen.